Are you weighed down by the burdens of life? Do you find yourself encouraged by the word of God on Sunday, but lose momentum shortly thereafter? Well, welcome to Sunday Soul Service, an hour designed to strengthen, encourage, and motivate you to keep pushing along the journey we call life. This is Dr. Renee Sunday, the platform builder, encouraging you to believe, trust, and walk it out.
And good evening, and welcome to another episode of Sunday Soul Service. This is your host, Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru. And as always, I like to remind you that it's never too late to edit your life. For all things joy, I invite you to follow me at thejoyguru.net. Now, the last episode, we talked about was there still power in prayer. And we talked about how some will pray out of tradition, some ignore prayer with a true expectancy to be followed up by an action plan. So piggybacking on that episode, tonight we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. Because how can you fight a battle when you're not sure that it exists and you don't know what armor you need to have on? And tonight, my favorite two guests for this very important discussion is Apostle David Pettaway and Elder Dolores Pettaway, both serve as the pastor and co-pastor of Park Place Baptist Church in Hampton, Virginia. Apostle David Pettaway is a graduate of New Mount Olive Baptist School of Evangelist Training and attended Richmond, Virginia Seminary Extension Program. He founded and pastored House of the Living God Holy Church, ministered 6 years on the Healing Word broadcast, as well as ministered in the Newport News City Jail System. Apostle David Pettaway's mission is to empower God's people, equip them with the word, and to evangelize the community. He stands on the scripture 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And alongside him is Elder Dolores Pettaway. She is a graduate of Commonwealth College and attended the Evan Smith School of Theology Extension Program, as well as served on the Healing Word broadcast alongside her husband. She is also a certified facilitator for strengthening families and a national facilitator for adults and children against violence. In 1992, she founded Crusading Outreach Ministry, Inc., which celebrates 25 years of meeting the needs of those that are displaced, disadvantaged adults, seniors, and at-risk youth in Peninsula, Virginia. Elder Dolores Pettaway, along with her husband, Apostle David Pettaway, serves at Park Place Baptist Church, and she's also a three-time author. Most importantly, she believes and encourages others to understand that we are our brother's keeper. I'd like to welcome you both to this edition of Sunday Soul Service. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing great.
All right, now, I think I can't hear you that well. Or is that me?
We can
you
hear
there?
Yes.
Okay,
can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I think that was the operator error. And as you know, it's very hot here in Virginia, so I'm going to blame the heat, but all systems seem to be afloat.
Okay, it's okay.
But tonight we're going to talk about the topic of spiritual warfare. And I just want to open with the scripture that's common to most of us, especially with this topic, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to 13, which says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And we know the scripture continues and is very specific on the different types of armor, but when we are in a relaxed mode, on vacation, or just with our loved ones having a great time, we don't really think about spiritual danger. So are we really in a fight for our life?
Well, I just want to let you know that Satan does never takes a vacation. And so since he never takes a vacation, we know that we shouldn't either as well.
Well, well, but we do. But we do. It's a battle. Like a lot of the things in the spirit, we don't see it. It's not visible. So it's real easy for us to focus on things that are natural and visible and ignore those things that we can't see.
Exactly. And we also have to remember that Satan is always roaming to and fro. That's his goal. That's his objective for life. So we cannot actually, we can rest in the Lord, but we always got to be aware of our surroundings.
Hmm. And definitely we look forward to this evening for your giving us guidance on how to do that. And as I alluded to, many believers and unbelievers alike, they don't want to deal with the world that they cannot see when the world that they see is hard enough to deal with. So can you press upon us the danger of being oblivious to spiritual warfare versus our natural battle?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say that, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. So we have to recognize that there's things all around us, spirits and demon activity all around us, and we need to always be aware that that is happening. And, you know, to be oblivious to it is like having a cell phone. Most of us have a cell phone. We have cell phones, smartphones, Android phones, and they all have features that we don't even know exist on our phone. Very few people check that out, you know, to see exactly what they have. And I gave that analogy because of the fact that Satan attacks in various different ways. And for us to not be aware of it is just like that cell phone. You know, we have it in our possession. We have articles that we can use, the Word of God, but we don't know exactly what we have. So the warfare is always there. And our natural battles that we can see, sometimes the things that we see are not actually what we see, but what we imagine and think.
And that's why the Word of God said in 1 Peter 5:8, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So when we get to a place that we are not aware of our surroundings, it has a gateway for Satan to enter in into every department of our body, of our mind, our thoughts, our emotions, our mental attitudes. And we become so oblivious of the fact that things are going on, he gets to set up his kingdom. While we have to stop and be mindful of the fact that if we don't look around ourselves and recognize what's going on, when we know anything, he has set up so many departments in our bodies and in our minds. So we have to be aware. We cannot allow him that, we cannot give him that freedom to our bodies.
And if you will, I would like you to give us some examples. And why I say that is because sometimes, you know, especially with Hollywood cinema and things like that, when you say demonic activity, when people talk about, you know, the spiritual warfare with Satan, people think there's this spooky thing going on, lights start flashing, stuff floats in the air, and they, you know, can easily associate demonic activity with things like that or spells and stuff. But what are some other things that, like you said, taking over our minds and our bodies, that we might be thinking are just natural things, but actually have demonic roots to them?
Because a lot of times when you are just lackadaisical and you are not prayed up and you're just going carefree, the enemy is watching you and he's understanding that you don't have that strength that you need from the Word of God because you're just going day by day. So things that you would normally, when you do the Word of God, you would normally remind yourself, I can't do this. I can't think like that. I don't need to look at that. So when you get to a place where you're so relaxed, you allow certain things that goes on the TV, and when those things happen on TV, there are certain things that's going on that's been prayed over, like the music and all this music is going into your body, and a lot of people now are getting killed behind music because of the things that are being said and being done, and you sitting there taking all of this stuff in, and some of this stuff is set up to take you out. So when you're not mindful of it, that's when, to me, Satan is moving in, and he's putting it in the sofa. You're not paying no attention. After a while, he's putting in a lamp. You're not paying no attention. After a while, you look around, you got a room full of furniture that he set up in there. And then you're fighting because of the fact that you have allowed him to move in through certain situations that's going on in your life. Drinking, smoking, just certain things, and you're just sitting there thinking it's okay.
Mm. That's very, very interesting. You know, you said that it struck a memory of something that was told to me previously. There was a woman, and she was going to a spiritual counselor, and they were working with her, and I'm not going to say they did hypnosis. I'm not sure what the type of therapy was, but I remember what they were saying is at the end of it, when they were going through the process, all she saw was like doors in her mind, and they categorically had to go through and close every single door. And there were just so many. But at the end of it, they were concluding that these were all the doors or windows that Satan had opened in her mind. And until they were able to go through and close each one of those, that was causing some of the mental and the health problems that she had.
Exactly, because it's like a door, it's an opening that he have access to, and he's watching you, and he's paying attention that you are not strengthened, and you're not paying him any attention. So he's moving in constantly.
You know,
wow.
As we look at the spiritual and the natural, the natural connection between this warfare. You know, we have to look at our bodies, and we have our eyes are the window to our heart and our minds, our ears, you know, what we smell, what we touch. You know, these are avenues that Satan can come in. And you have to have a spiritual filter to filter out those things that are coming in. And we have to recognize that spiritual filter that the born-again believer has is the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have not accepted Christ Jesus in your life, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. Then that means you don't have that filter to regulate. And now I want you to understand also, your filter is only as strong as the Bible wisdom and knowledge that you put into it. Because the Holy Spirit brings all things back to your remembrance, but it can't bring back what's not there.
Right.
So you have to do due diligence and reading, studying the Bible, and worshiping God so that your spiritual filter will be built up so that Satan won't get a foothold in your spiritual realm.
Because the scripture says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so with that, if you don't watch yourself and you don't allow yourself to recognize this is possible, as Pastor was saying, then you won't have the strength or the understanding of what's going on, and that's when he can, no matter how much you love God, if you're not putting in your body and in your spirit, man, what you need to survive on this earth, then he can come and wreak havoc in your body and in your mind, in your emotions. Our mental attitudes. A lot of people are losing their minds now because of the fact that he's come in and taken root, and it's hard. They probably not even recognize what's happening because of the fact that they've just been so slow about doing things of the Lord, not studying their word, not recognizing that we are wrestling against principalities and darkness. When you don't recognize that can happen, then you are in a different place.
Wow. So you definitely, both of you have definitely alerted us to some things, and I'm being told the lines are full. So if anyone out there is listening, you have a question for this discussion, you have something that you're thinking about, I believe you can press star 1. and the operator will definitely let you through to ask a question of either one of us. But, okay, so we're listening to you now. Maybe someone out there is realizing, you know what, I didn't consider some of the things they said. I didn't know it was on that level. I didn't know it was that serious. But still, we're faced with the natural problem that we cannot physically see this attacker. You know, like you said, sometimes we walk around oblivious or lackadaisical. So now we realize the need to fight. Now we realize the need to be on guard. If there was a step program, so to speak, what are the steps for us to begin to prepare for this spiritual warfare?
Exactly, and I just want to use this as an example. Last week I was diagnosed with pneumonia, and I learned later today some other things was going on. But in that place, I was so, so sick and weak, and my body temperature was going from one place to another. And in that place, I found myself in like a deep sinking hole, and I could not pray for myself. I was in this, I can't explain, this dark place that I was in. I call it hell. And I remember waking up one morning. I'm drenched in sweat because my body was going from hot to cold. And in that place, I woke up, my eyes was, I cried basically all day. Everything about my life, all the stuff that I had been through was just pulled right in the front of me, and I was in this place where I was, like, not strong enough to fight it out of my mouth. I just thank God for him loving me to help me get through it. But I remember giving into those things, giving into all of the things that I had fought. It looked like everything was coming in at one time to remind me, and I had to recognize and call out to God to give me peace so that I could get myself strong enough so that I can pray. And as I told God, I said, all I can do is now just lay in your arms. I can't fight. I know if something happened, I can't fight. And I had to surrender to God my mind. And in the process of that, my baby daughter called me, and she just called me and gave me words of encouragement, which helped raise me from out of that place. So I said all of that is that we can never think, exempt the fact that Satan will not come in at any given place. I know I'm a strong woman in the Lord. I know I read his word. But there are places, there are times that he's waiting so that he can come in and take control. And he saw that place for me. And so it is real.
But you know that you're correct. That it is real, and I think a lot of times we're just off guard. Now, what I want to ask you is, you know, for some, the hardest battles are those from within. In order to get a grasp on what's going on within our own hearts and minds, that can be one of the hardest and most exhausting battles. So, how do we discern from a spiritual battle versus just the regular battles of life?
The difference between the spiritual battle and the natural battle is the spiritual battle is attacking your faith. The spiritual battle is attacking your faith. And you can look at all the situations because there's a difference between demonic activity and spiritual warfare or spiritual attacks. And so we have to recognize that what Satan's mission is to steal, kill, and to destroy. So we have to recognize that in our walk with Christ, that Satan is always trying to take an advantage of us, and he's attacking our faith. He's always telling, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's always telling us we're not saved, we're not born again. You know, if you were born again, you wouldn't do this and you wouldn't do that. So he's attacking our faith in Christ Jesus, because we all have to recognize who are in Christ Jesus, that he is our salvation and he is our strength, and no matter what is going on outside of us, those things that the carnal things or the worldly things that we struggle with, those are things that are attacking our flesh. But then those things that infiltrate into the inside are the spiritual battles that we go through. Because, see, Satan would have you to believe that just because you may have an addiction or smoking or something that you're doing that you have not been delivered from, that because you do those things, you are not saved. He's attacking your faith. He's not attacking your flesh. Because, you know, as we mentioned earlier, you know, our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's against principalities, powers, and rules of darkness in high places.
Yes, so, Lord.
And so with that, that's my favorite scripture is Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. And to me, that's a place of Psalms 91 in Ephesians when we're talking about 6, talking about wrestling against flesh and blood. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We have to have a place to go. We need a secret place to go. We need God to be able to keep us under the shadow of Him so that we can be protected. We need to be able to understand we need a relationship with God so that He can be our refuge, that He can be our fortress, and then that we can trust Him so that we can be delivered when these things come up on us, because it is going to happen. He'll be able to protect us. He'll be able to cover us. But if we don't understand we are in a spiritual warfare, then we're trying to do things naturally. We're going to get caught up and we're going to get messed up, because as Pastor said, when we do natural things and like drinking and smoking, we get caught up in a place where the enemy will show you that you cannot come out of it. This is who you are. Your mama was like that. Your daddy was like that. And then you begin to see the curse, and you receive it, and you hold on to it, and you walk in it. Wherein if you stay with God and allow Him to be who He is to you, then He can help you to understand this is temporary. You keep holding on to me, I can help you fight this battle. Because this battle is not yours. This is mine.
So what I am really hearing you say, that I pray it's a source of encouragement to those that are listening now and those who also listen on the replay of this show, is that we need to stop allowing the enemy to trick our minds to believe that when we're falling short, that there's just no hope.
Exactly. And that's his greatest talk to most of us. He comes in and he begins to tell us who we are not. And we begin to listen, and everything that goes on, we begin to see, and we make it manifest by seeing that I'm not able to do this. I can't do this. And this is his goal, so then you cannot do and be who God has called you to be, because you're not walking in your own, you're walking in your strength and not in the strength of God. That's why I love this scripture, because Psalms 91 says that as long as you are his, you're always covered. You're always protected. So just like the other night when I was going through, what in the world? My baby girl called me early that morning, and her voice was so powerful. She didn't even know, but she began to speak life to me and put me in another place. She didn't understand. I understood that that was my cry that I had cried out to God for in the midst of the darkness. Her voice that morning, I knew was God. She had no clue. So God will protect you, take care of you. He'll have a way to get the word back to you, to give you the strength that you need.
And, you know, what you said is very powerful there as well, that sometimes we overlook, is that God has a use for every one of his children.
Exactly.
So it would behoove us to try to, you know, even though those times that we fall short, we know we fall short, to be repentant and ask God for his strength, trusting that God has equipped us, that God is with us, the Holy Spirit is with us, and God still has a use and purpose for us, and we just need to submit under his guidance.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's encouragement. That's definitely encouragement as we're talking on this subject of warfare, to not be discouraged, but to be empowered and know that, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Exactly.
Now, I do want to mention and would love for you both to elaborate on these two examples in the Bible that are definite proof that the invisible spiritual realm, the warfare, is real. Because, you know, a lot of times there might be a philosophical or theological debate on this or this point or that point. But these just two examples from the Bible really both make their point that this isn't an illusion. This isn't some fabrication. But this is spirit realm, and spiritual warfare are very real and still active in our lives. Daniel chapter 10, verses 7 through 17. I would encourage people to replay this and actually go in your word for yourself and read that section, actually read that chapter in its entirety. But Daniel chapter 10, verses 7 to 17, shares the tale of when Daniel was praying and fasting during a time of war, specifically to ask God for revelation. Only Daniel was granted access to see, hear, and speak spiritually so he could communicate with the angel of God. At the same time, everyone around him fled in terror, and they hid themselves. Now, this is the infamous scripture where the angel was slain, that Daniel's prayers were heard, but his arrival was delayed for 21 days due to demonic forces. So God heard Daniel's prayers from day one. He had sent the angel to actually provide that answer to Daniel. But that angel was delayed 21 days, 3 weeks, because of the demonic activity. What does that lesson, that tale in the Bible, say for us today when we're talking about that subject of spiritual warfare?
Well, you know, we have to recognize that since the fall of Satan, Lucifer, you know, there's been a battle and war going on in heaven, and it has not, you know, there's been no respite. It has not stopped. And although it was in the heavenly realm, and then when he was kicked out, you know, the battle ensued. It kept on, it continued on to the earthly realm. And now we're still battling and still battling because there's a warfare. Because as we keep mentioning, you know, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. And see, Satan has already been defeated. He's already been kicked out. And, you know, so his mission is to get as many on his side as he can, because he wants to prove God wrong. But see, we have to recognize that the battle and the warfare is real in our lives, because there's so many vices on the natural side that get into our spirit man and cause us to fall away. That's why there's going to be a great falling away of the word. That's why people don't respect God and the work of God now, because there's a great falling away. People don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. They don't believe he's the Savior of the world. You have whole religions saying that Jesus never existed, you know, that he is not the way, and he's not the only way. They're saying all manner of things. That, all of that's warfare. That's, and it's right in our face, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. You know, but we that are born again, you know, Paul was telling the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians that lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. We know how he works. You know, if you have a vice in your life, he'll work through that vice. Maybe your vice is women or men, adultery, fornication. He works through those vices, because he knows what you like. And so the battle is going on, but your faith needs to continue to stay strong. The Word of God tells me that that Jesus told Peter, you know, Peter, Satan desires, he asks for you, and he desires to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that you overcome that. And so, you know, we know that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. You know, he's going constantly before the Lord for us. So he's praying for us. We have to pray for ourselves to the Father through Jesus Christ. And we have to continue maintaining our connection and our communication with God on a regular basis. You know, you asked the question in the beginning of the program talking about vacation. There is no vacation because of the fact that Satan is always going up and down, to and fro, through the earth, looking whom he may devour. So the minute you let your guard down is the minute that you open the door for him to come in. So we always, the Word of God tells us, man should always pray and not faint. So we have got to have our guard up, put on our whole armor, to continue to stand against the wiles of the devil, we got to do it.
Okay, and also with what Pastor was saying, when I'm looking at it, I'm looking at Daniel, and I'm looking at it as an individual way. This is my personal take. And I'm looking at Daniel where he says he saw the vision. This was a vision that God had gave him. He said, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. And the people, like you say, around, they was full of fear, so they had to leave. And sometimes when God has given you a vision, he's told you what he's going to do. He might tell you that you are going to be healed and your body's racking in pain or whatever. Your finances might be all off, all messed up, all screwed up, no money in the bank, but he's giving you a vision. He's telling you what he's going to do. But in the process of that, you become weak because day after day after day, you're still in this position. And the people that are around you that you're hoping will be there to help hold you up, they are not there to encourage you. They are not there. They have hidden themselves, so they can't hold you up. So you are in this position by yourself. You recognize you're getting weak day by day, so you're constantly praying for God. And so to me, when I see that God, when Michael came and talked to him, 21 days he was out there fighting for them. And so that let us know that no matter what goes on, when God has given you a vision and he's showing you something, there's spiritual warfare going on. God is fighting for you. He's protecting you. You can't see all these things because he don't want us to see these things. We can't afford to see these things. And so in that weak place, we need to allow God to take care of us so that when he manifests these things to us, we will have the strength to be able to enjoy what he has for us. Because whenever he's given us a word, don't you worry, the enemy is going to come. Just like with Job, God asked him where he come from. He said, I'm coming to and fro. God talking to Job, they're having a conversation. But there he was. So he's coming to break down, tear down, because that's his goal. He already know where his definite place is going to be. So he's trying to take us, many of us, with us. And how else can we go? He know if we can weaken a man or woman of God, then he know he can get you. That's when he can move in and take over your mind.
Okay, so I don't want to be redundant, but I want to make sure that we're being very clear on the things you're saying on the topic of spiritual warfare and the seriousness of it. You, Apostle, you alluded to the fact that if Satan knows your weakness, and you said things like men and women, and I think previously in the broadcast, one of you said something like drinking and smoking, that he whatever door he can get into, he's going to get into. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we have the view of, well, you know, God knows how I am. We can repent. God will forgive me. You know, so if I have a moment of temporary weakness, it's okay. And sometimes you're even encouraged, you know, to do certain things, and you do know. So just using your example, men or women, let's take single people, or you can say single or married. It really doesn't matter. How can Satan use maybe a prospective person to enter in your life? How can something that you know is wrong, but you fall in the trap or you choose to willfully do a simple act, what is the seriousness of that outside of, oh, I can repent and God will forgive me? Is there a way that Satan can use that where you may not be able to come back from?
That sounds like a murder and premeditated murder. You know, if somebody says, I'm going to kill you, wait till I come back. You know, that means that they premeditated. They went home to get their gun, and they coming back to kill you. Versus someone attacking you, and you defend yourself. Those are different. Just because God is going to forgive us, that's premeditated sin. You already know the difference between right and wrong. That's why I mentioned earlier that studying the Word of God will increase your spiritual filters. And if things do get by that spiritual filter, then that means that you need to check out your relationship and your faith in Christ to keep you, because we know Jesus Christ to be a keeper. minds taking over our bodies. Our bodies are taking over our minds. So, you know, it's the difference between premeditated and murder.
Well, all right then. You know, people don't look at it that way. So I like that, the difference between murder and premeditated murder. So we really need, and I remember there's a book, and actually I checked it out of the church library. I can't remember the name of it. I can see it clear as day. It was about Satan.
Came to set
and
the
I know, what was that?
He came to set the captives free.
I think it might have been that book. I can see it. It's a red book. But I remember how they used several different examples of demon possession. And they talked about how the different ways that the devil was allowed. And what shocked me is that there were some people, you look from the outside, this is a good person. They were very spiritual, very Christian. You know, from outside appearances, they dotted every I and crossed every T. But when I can't think of his name now, but when the person would go to cast the devil out or cast the demons out, they would have to ask the host demon, how did he enter? And when you look at the different
examples. Hi, you guys. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. You know, you're having an awesome, a fabulous, a wonderful day. And the reason you're having that, because guess what? You are in your purpose. I know.
No technical difficulty there. But I remember that what happened was he was talking about different ways he entered. And one of those ways, you know, I remember with one young teenager on his prom night, he lost his virginity to a girl. And she was apparently, you know, the demons used that interaction to enter in. You know, there were other people that had prayed for certain things, and they enter in that way. And I remember one of the host demons said something to the effect they only needed a little entry. Like we say a mustard seed of faith, they used a similar analogy. So they only needed a crack in the door. They didn't need this grandiose act or this grandiose sin. They just needed you to have a little crack open for them to get into. And you're looking at people that are completely demon-possessed and have to have someone try to rid them of these demons. Their whole life is turned upside down from one little crack in the crevice.
Yes. Can you hear us?
We certainly can.
Okay. Now, when you were saying that, this is me. This is my thought. And you were talking about men and women. And sometimes when we say, I just got you, this is my body, and God knows who I am, and I'm lonely, or whatever. And then when a woman lay down and she don't understand, once she opens her legs and that person enter into her, there's something that's been exchanged. And when she gets up and he gets up, they're never the same. She's going to then have to struggle because she's opened a door, a passageway, and he has delivered spirits inside of her. And there's things happening now that she's not going to understand why she can't be the woman that she used to be. So those are things that we have to be very, very careful about, that we might say, oh, this is just a moment, or this is just a second. But it only takes a moment. That's a crack in the door. That's a little place that that when you see it in your house, you got to recognize, if I don't close that space up, a mouse going to come in, a bug going to come in. And once they get in, they're going to take over the house. That's exactly what's going to happen once you allow that to happen to you. Anything that you, the first drink that you take, anything that takes you from the Word of God and you don't allow the Holy Spirit to help strengthen you, then you are in a different place.
Wow. And I did have a viewer text me, and they are correct. The name of that book was In the Name of Satan. Bob Larson.
Yeah. Bob Larson. Yeah, that's what we were saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was saying, Bob Larson. Yeah, I thought about that when you said.
Mm-hmm, how the forces of evil work and what you can do to defeat them. So, yeah, this is real serious, but I did say I was going to give two scriptural examples. So we talked about Daniel. The second one should also be a source of encouragement. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 11 through 17. It says that when King Aram sent his army with horses and chariots in pursuit of prophet Elisha, and they surrounded the city, Elisha prayed that God would open the eyes of his servant so he could see God's spiritual army and spiritual warfare that surrounded them. And if you continue to read that scripture, it does show how God did grant Elijah's wish, the prophet's wish, and the servant's eyes were open so he could see what the prophet saw. So we know today, you know, it's the same thing, especially by the information you're sharing. If we ask the Holy Spirit, if we ask God for that, you know, discernment, for that spiritual eye, he will grant us that, and then he will strengthen us so that we can be prepared to fight spiritually. So one of the questions I want to ask going forward is that when Satan attacks, what does he do?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, he attacks our faith. He attacks our faith. And Luke 22 alluded to that. I think it's verse 31 or somewhere. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." So now we recognize that we have some strength in Jesus Christ because he's the one that's making intercession for us. So when we are strengthened, that's why we give our testimonies and encourage one another and pray for one another, because when we go through similar situations, we can encourage our brother, which is basically one of the reasons why this radio, this program exists, so we can strengthen our brothers and sisters who are going through similar situations, may not know why they're going through them, may not understand why they're under attack. And I want to tell you right now, if Satan is attacking you, that means that you are worth something in the kingdom.
Oh.
God has already anointed you to be a devastating in Satan's kingdom. So if he's attacking you, what does the natural enemy do? You know, he tries to attack you and throw you off guard so that you can't fight any longer. So it's designed, the enemy is designed to beat you down that you might not get back up. And a lot of times when we go through these trials and tribulations that we go through on a regular basis, you know, they beat us down to the point that we can't hardly see up. So we need to encourage one another, continue to stay in the Word, continue to study, go to Bible study, Sunday school, every chance you get to get into your Word, you know, self-study, you know, every time you get into the Word, it strengthens you so that when the enemy attacks you, you'll build up some resilience.
And also, you always have to remember his objective, Satan's objective in life is to kill, to destroy, and to steal.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's your spiritual man, whether it's your peace, whether it's through sickness, however way he can come and subtract from you. That's what he did with Job. And he came to tear him down to the bottom. He told God, he said, if you take your head from around, I can do this, I can do that. Because he understood that if I can kill his mind, if I can destroy what he has, if I can steal his joy, then I have him. And that's his goal. That's his main objective in life, is to do these things. So our objective, again, is to remind ourselves to put on the whole armor of God. And when you put on the whole armor of God, then it says, then you will be able to stand. You can't stand if you don't have on the whole armor of God, because wherever there's a piece missing, he has checked you out, and that's the place he's going to zone in on.
Okay. One other thing I want to focus on, and we talked about little things, some of these things before, you know, our media, movies, books, but even kids' toys and cartoons, we see, you know, demonic influences, references, magic, and there's even adults, and this isn't anything new, who use fortune tellers, tarot cards, psychic hotlines, horoscopes, Ouija boards, just to get some guidance on things that they want to know if definitely they're going to happen in their future. So I want to propose this question to you. Is this harmless fun? Is it a way that God communicates to his people, or things we should avoid at all costs?
You know, I answered a question earlier about how Satan infiltrates our mind through the eyes, the ears, by smell, by touch, you know, our basic five senses. And every one of those things that you mentioned has something to do with one of the doorways that Satan can come in. You know, people, a lot of people today don't do research into what's behind certain games or television programs, but, you know, just like what they call Pokemon, the pocket monster, those demonic symbols and things that we let kids play with, and, you know, just like, let me give this connection right here. Whenever you go into a church and we sanctify things for God's use, we pray over the emblems, we anoint them for God's use, for God's service in his sanctuary. Am I correct?
Yes.
So on the same token, those people that are manufacturing those different games and television programs, they anoint them for Satan's work. Mm-hmm. You know, whether or not they actually know what they're doing, they're promoting it, and so they're working in the kingdom of Satan. They're working in Satan's kingdom. So they are anointed to do certain things. Why do you think they put certain kind of malt liquors in different stores in certain neighborhoods and things of that nature? They know the area that they're attacking, and so that's what they do.
Exactly, and we always have to remember also that when we're talking about fortune tellers and psychics, these are people that put themselves in the place of God. And so whenever you put yourself in the place of God, there's danger there. We have to always remember that they are witches. Their goal is to pray over this music, over these toys that our babies are playing with. So we have to be very careful. In fact, we need to learn how to, as Pastor was saying, when you're doing the communion, you pray over it to turn it into the spiritual. So we really need to learn how to pray over the things that we bring into our homes for our children, because we don't always necessarily know what has been said or spoken over it.
Ooh, okay. Something else, just another thing to consider. Other considerations, wow. One of the questions I came across when I was researching this topic and preparing for today's show, and I would love to have both of you answer this. It was a question asked, do I really have to think this much about my when it only took one prayer to be saved?
Well, we live on, if you're saved, you live on the hinges of faith. Faith is the foundation of trust, regardless of any situation or circumstances. So when you don't do faith, when you don't let faith operate in your life, you're in a bad situation. That's your foundation. So the answer to that to me is yes, you need to continue to pray, because you prayed to be saved. Now you need to stay prayed up, and your faith is your hinges. You take your hinges away, you're going to fall.
Luke 18:2 says, man should always pray and not faint. But let me just ask everybody a question. That tank of gas you put in your car when you first bought it, is it still in your car?
Well, I like to venture to say no.
Thank you. So you have to continue putting gas in your car.
That's right.
If you still want to go.
That's right.
If you want to continue to see Jesus, you want to see Jesus, you got to continue praying and continue having faith in him.
Exactly.
Well, all right. That pretty much answers it. But also, you know, we look at this from a military standpoint. Even soldiers get a break. You know, they're not on the battlefield all the time, even though they have to be battle-ready at all times. They can't always be in war mode. Even though they can't be relaxed, they always have to be ready. So what sort of break? I heard you say there's no vacations. The devil doesn't take vacations. But what sort of break do we get spiritually when we need rest to avoid us being so paranoid over spiritual warfare?
Go to the secret place of the Most High.
That's it. That's the answer.
Go to the secret place of the Most High.
Psalm 9:1.
Yes, and also he also gives you a period of rest. There are different seasons. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time for everything. And so there's different seasons that we go through where it's not as hard and the battle is not as hot, you know, as some other times. So we get a chance to rest. You know, we get a chance to take our ease, but we still need to be vigilant and be aware because Satan, just like that, he comes just like a thief in the night, and we never know when he's coming. Just because we're relaxing, we still need to be aware.
Exactly. And that's why you allow the peace of God to come over when you know, I love the scripture where it says, I lay down in both peace and sleep because the Lord makes me dwell in safety. So when you do that, you can go to sleep, you can do whatever it is, and so you have surrendered unto God, and then you can get rest.
So what advice, any other advice you would give to those that say they're just tired of fighting? You know, whether you want to say it's a spiritual war or a physical war, they might not know which one they fight, but they're just tired of fighting. What would you say to encourage them to push ahead?
That they're not fighting on their own? The battle is the Lord. He already made a way for us, and we know he never leaves us nor forsakes us. So it's not like we're fighting this battle all by ourselves. We have the strength of God on our side through Jesus Christ, and we have the Comforter who comforts us and leads and guides our way. So, you know, it's not always just fight. You know, he gives us that period of rest. He gives us that period of rest and the fact that we don't have to fight always. There's going to come his rest where it will all be worth it.
And one thing I'm just going to add to that, too, when you read in the Word of God, like, again, I love this for fighting, Psalms 9:1, make it personal. He that dwelleth in the secret place, say I, whatever your name is, say, if your name is Dolores, then say Dolores. I live in the secret place under the Most High. I will say that he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in him. And then you put yourself, make it personal. Don't just read it. Make it personal. So when you make it personal, then that's a fighting mode because you're no longer fighting. You have surrendered unto God.
Yes.
And this is yours. This is what God is going to do. When you continue to read 9:1, he says, because I love you and you know my name, these are the things that I will do for you. So make it personal.
And we can always call on the name of God.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. So on this topic, and not just this topic, but just reflections from Sunday service, what would you like to share with us, just some closing words of encouragement for the rest of this week? I know you talked about on Sunday's message, and of course, listeners can go to parkplacebaptistchurch.org for that sermon and previous ones. You talked about unholy communication.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That unholy communication, you know, we have to check those filters once again because the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan, is always trying to get in through everything that you do. So we have to watch out for unholy communication. And those people that we come in contact with, we have to recognize it's not them, but that spirit that worketh in the men and women of disobedience. So we don't always want to think it's just a person. It is spiritual warfare.
Oh, all right.
Just don't be oblivious that it's not going on. We might not see it because we can't obtain it. We don't even need to see it. But understand that it is happening. And that will always keep the door closed.
So there's a lot we discussed tonight. Again, the phone lines are open. We are wrapping up the show at this point. But a lot for us to just really think of. And I think a lot of things you pointed out in this discussion that we think are just innocent. One of the things I loved how you said is the things that come into our homes for our children, even things like the music and the media. Those things are very well orchestrated. Those things have been preyed on by the forces of darkness. So we also need to be mindful in our prayer life and our worship life to be praying over things as well, praying God's protection, praying God's spirit over things, and praying over our families and even our nation. I know there's some things that a lot of people don't think about. You know, it's easy for us to be upset over who might be in power here or there or who holds this position of authority in this office, but often people forget to pray over those things.
Exactly.
And pray that, you know, God would have dominion and God would have rule and that God would have the desired result over those things. So I know for myself, if there's one takeaway from tonight's show, it's definitely the power of prayer and just understanding that we are not alone. You know, God didn't leave us alone. Once we made that prayer of salvation, we are his children. So God hasn't left us alone, and we're not defenseless. We're not weak. God, we go by his strength and not our own power when it comes to defeating the forces of evil.
Exactly.
And also, just wanted you to real quick, give us some tips on the armor that we need to be equipping ourselves with.
The armor of God. It covers you from head to toe. Most of all, it covers your heart, the breastplate of righteousness. We know that we are fighting this war between good and evil, and we need to overcome evil with good. So while we are walking with our war clothes on, we recognize we're in the army and we're not alone. And we have to recognize that that armor is geared to protect us no matter where he strikes. And if he do strike, God has given Satan permission, but he knows that we are worthy because he has protected us and made us worthy.
Ephesians 6:13 says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And then I go back again to 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And the evil
so
day
again,
is today.
definitely, you are correct. It is today. It definitely is today. So again, as you said, we need to know our word, and we need to study our word, because God can't bring back to remembrance what is not already there.
That's right.
And we definitely will not be fully equipped if we don't know, just like that cell phone, what we have use of at our disposal. So I want you to also let us know, how can the listeners follow you and get in touch with both of you?
Well, you can go to parkplacebaptist.org. Or you can follow us on Facebook. Our email is parkplacebaptist711@gmail.com. You can drop us a line.
Come visit us. Our Sunday service starts at 11:30, our morning worship service. Our Sunday school starts at 10. We have midday prayer on Wednesday at noon, and then we come back at 6 for our Bible study, our very rich Bible study. So we welcome all to come and set up under the knowledge of Apostle David Petaway.
711 Spruce Street in Hampton.
Hampton, Virginia, 23669.
All right now. And that is parkplacebaptistchurch.org that they can go to visit to also get that information. And what we will ask you to do in this closing minute is to please close us out in prayer.
Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this opportunity, oh God, to go over the airways, oh God, to touch people, oh God, in their hearts, oh God, in their minds, in their spirits. And Father God, we just pray right now, oh God, for any spirit that may be trying to infiltrate. Even though we've given the word of God, we know that Satan is not busy. God, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you allow that hedge of protection to stay around each and every one of us, oh God. Father God, continue to bless Dr. Sunday, oh God, Reverend Dr. Brown, God. We just pray, God, that you will continue to move by your spirit, oh God. Have your way, oh God. And these, your people, oh God, who have tuned in to hear from you, God, we just ask that that anointing, oh God, that came through the airways, oh God, would remain, oh God. Encourage them to study, to pray, and to seek to you for their guidance. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
amen.
Name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Sunday Soul Service, brought to you by me, Dr. Renee Sunday, the platform builder. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an uplifting, power-packed hour designed to help you believe, trust, and walk it out. And always remember, I love you, but God loves you best.